And so, the Esek over here is, you are giving us B'nai Ha'adam L'Varam Ha'alakim. But the Rabbi Nishkan chose Adam, right? In other words, he had a whole big series of Bria, 6 days, high separations. He made all kinds of Brias. And the Rabbi Nishkan chose Adam to be different, to be higher than all the other Brias which he made. The Lord has Shehem Behema Him Elohim. And he looked around and he saw that they were Behema. Now, you know, we mentioned once
Maral, the Matriyosh of Adam, if you remember.
The Adam, the Matriyosh, no? 45, yeah? What's 45? Ma, right? Ma Yisra in the Adam, b'chol ha'mole sh'yam al-tachas ha'shamash, right? Adam is Ma. Ha'adam is manifested 5 more, right? And what does that make? 50? Kol. That's the end of the of Kahelas. That's
Kol Ha'Adam is Kol.
Now what's Adam is a strange Bria. Right? He's either Ma, he's either Gonet, Ma is not. What is he not? Ma, what is it? Nothing there.
Or he can be Kol. He can be everything. Remember we talked about the Maral, the Maral learned
why Adam is called Adam, because he was made from the Adama. Remember? Right? Because Adama really doesn't make much sense to call him Adam, because he was made from the Adama. Because all the other animals were also made from the Adama, right? Quite so, all the Fire, the Mina, all the behemoths were made from the Adama too.
So why call Adam Adam, because he was made from the Adama? So the Maral learned because he's called Adam because it was made from the Adama, because what is Adama? Adama is something which is nothing. There's nothing which is less precious than the cloud of earth. It's a garnet, right? It's nothing at all. But really everything comes from the earth. It has unlimited potential. Everything grows from the earth, and life ultimately derives from the earth. So Adama, and therefore Adam, is that being who by himself or as is nothing at all. Ma. Ma Yisra in the Adam. He's done it. Very cloud of earth.
But he has infinite potential. He has Kol, right? In other words, if he wants to, work on himself, if he wants to produce something, he wants to do something with himself, so then he has infinite potential of the Adam. And that's in contradistinction to a behemoth, which the Maral learns is a combination of the two words, for ma, right? In it is everything which can be. See, that's the difference. In an Adam, every other Bria in the world, there are Brias which are higher than Adam, those are the Malachim. And there are Brias which are lower than an Adam, those are the behemoths. Now the common factor between those two groups is that they haven't got any place to go. The Malach is what he is. Yeah, he stands still. Hashem creates him with a certain madrega. That's the way he is. No shinui in the Malach. The Behemoth is also the way it is. You don't find a Behemoth steigen. But in Adam has a potential for growth. Sad thing is, you have an Adam who doesn't bother to do anything about that. He just remains the way he is. He doesn't generate any growth within himself, right? He doesn't do anything with himself. He doesn't make himself develop in any way. then we're in bad shape. That's what Kehelet is saying over here. Tiyomati ani belibi al divras b'nei ha'adam. Right? Ha'adam, we said, is gematria kal. Right? Al divras b'nei ha'adam. As he looked around, and he knew that Adam, the man, has such great potential. He can really, really go places. B'varam ha'elokim, inasmuch as God chose them, in other words, from this whole big, huge Bria, which he made. This is the only Bria in the world which has a growth potential. The Lugos, Shehem, Behemah, Lachem. Shehem, Behemah, Hema, Lachem. What they are is behemoths, right? Not that they're behemoths that they go around mooing, right? But they don't develop, they don't grow, they become both mass, right? In other words, they exist as they are created, and there's no growth, no development. So in that sense, they're like behemoths. That's a sobering thought, that a person can go through life, and he looks pretty human from the outside, but really he's a behemoth, in the sense that he's not doing that basic thing which an Adam is supposed to be doing, namely growing and developing. A person looks back a couple of years and he says, well, am I essentially different from the way I was so many years ago? The answer is yes. It's wonderful. It's Hashem. That's the way he's supposed to be. The answer is not. That's what I'm thinking to do. Because then he's not really using his Adamness. And now we know from the Gaon that that's not really so. See, we've been describing the Adam who doesn't develop, right? He doesn't make anything out of his potential. He doesn't generate growth within himself. So he's a behemoth because he just stays the way he is, but the fact is, of course, that he doesn't. Pasuk in Mishlei, which says, V'derech chayim v'chokhoz musa. Pasuk in Mishlei says that the way of life, you want to live, so you have to grow. The Kofa is Musar. The Musar means that you have to subject yourself to a rigorous discipline. And what do you do when you subject yourself to a rigorous discipline? So make yourself do things you don't feel like doing. You break your middle. You develop. You grow. That's what the Gaon says, the famous name of it, which he says, that in Yata, Eile Mala Mala, that's the way the Ganshan made people, that nobody stays in one place, because not growing by itself is a regression. See, because I have to understand this, that we're living in a world where everything conspires together to draw us away from Avodas Hashem. There's an interesting passage in the Chavos HaLevavos. Chavos HaLevavos asks the question, says, what do you need a toilet for? I mean, why not leave it to the human safer? Why not you leave it to the human mind? Figure out what's right. You know, we have a head. Let's figure out how we can generate our own growth, how we can make ourselves into a Kaddish bigger people. Why not leave it to our own sechel? So, as I've always said, because there are three ways, there are three nekudas, how the sechel doesn't really have a chance. So, because you're not equally matched stodder. That the physical part of the person, part that draws him into being a bodily kind of a person, very concerned with worldly things rather than with otherworldly things. It's for a number of reasons. So first of all, because right away when you're born, that's how you start off. And it takes many years before the concept of any kind of obligation or witness enters into the mind of the person altogether, right? A baby when it's born, it only knows itself, it only knows its hunger, it only knows its comfort, right? And it flaps everything to itself. So by the time the Yetzer HaTov enters a person, that means by the time the realization enters a person, that there's more to life than just grabbing. You have to give sometimes also, and you have to discipline yourself, and you have to generate growth. So it's got a really, really big hurdle to cross, because right from the beginning, when life starts, the whole being of the person militates against that. Number one. Number two, like this, that the physical parts of a person function constantly. Right? The mechanism which makes a person hungry, the mechanism which makes a person cold, or whatever it is that a person, all the physical needs of a person, they function the whole time. You don't have to make them function. If you didn't eat, and then you go to sleep, you wake up hungry. Masha Enkein, the Matthias towards Kedusha, towards the Mitzvah, towards Kayyid, those are not things that function automatically. You have to make them function. You stimulate yourself to think, hey, I should be doing something. Comes to watching somebody else, or to learning something, or just like by turning on your thinking mechanism, but it doesn't go by itself. So that's another difficulty with there. That's what strengthens the nature of a person towards the more physical part of his life. And then finally, he says, because the world in which we live reinforces the whole time the physical parts of our being. We look around, we see the animal world, we see the nature, the plant life, we see everything which is concerned only with its physical existence, right? And you see that, the plants, you see how they fight for existence. You ever seen trees, right, in a forest where they get all twisted in their efforts to get to the sun, right? Little plants which fight for every little bit of water which there is, animals, everything in the world is extremely physical. They fight for their physical existence. So that reinforces a person's own natia towards that kind of thing. And there's nothing in the world, you don't see any monkeys or cats and dogs striving wilderness very much. So, try it like this, that if a person doesn't develop his goodness, his tradition, his avoider of the Rabbi Mishlana, so then the world takes over. Yeah, all those three reasons. And it pulls him down. That's what the Gaon means. In Iyato Yerot Malam Ato, Balkor Ato, in Iyato Eile Malam Ola, Balkor Ato Yerot Matam Ato. In other words, person doesn't stay at one place. He either strikes or he regresses. And that creates a sad thing. And that's what the next passage talks about. The mikra b'nei Adam and the behemo, mikra b'lehem, k'mos zeh k'en mos zeh. Ruach echad l'akol, and mos zeh ha'odam and abhemo oin ki akol hover. See, when you get to Misa, that's where the hafkana takes place. When the Misa of an Adam and the Misa of a behemo is the same, then we're in bad shape. Now, what's this business of the Misa? One of my cotton, which talks about the two kinds of misas. One kind of misa is benisa mechalba, that it's like taking a fly out of the milk. And the other kind of misa, which the Gemara describes as the tomb of the veshet, which means like taking out the wool from a thorn bush. In other words, the moral of this passage, the degree of kesha, the degree of union between the guf and the neshama. Misa, death, is the point at which the neshama leaves the guf. Guf stops functioning, and the neshama is in the guf only as long as the guf functions. But that is the moment when the guf stops functioning, and that's when the neshama leaves the guf. Now, what's dying over there? What's death? What happens? Now that division of the guf from the neshama, or rather, let's say from the neshama from the guf,
Is it an easy process? Is it something that goes very easily? Or is it something that comes with a lot of pain, a lot of suffering?
So the easy one is to bring these to Mikhailberg. The fly falls into the milk. So what do you take a spoon and you lift it up, and that's it. There's no problem at all. So that is somebody who lived a very spiritual life. Somebody who spent all his energies developing his neshama. So such a person doesn't have much shaykhus between his neshama and his guf. It isn't a very close contact. It isn't a very, very, very developed contact. And he's a little bit like, you'd say by other Harishan before, I mean, we can't compare anybody to other Harishan before the faith, but just as a marshal. Right? So, Vayiyush name Avumim Vila Yisbashashu. Right? That Adam and Chava were able to walk around without clothes, and they weren't ashamed. What happened? I mean, why was it that? Because the chait, which they did, suddenly engendered shame. Good, I would understand if it made shame. I'm ashamed of myself for doing the chait. I don't want people to see that. I understand. But why shame make me ashamed of my body? Why does the fact of whether they were able to go around without clothes or not, what does that have to do with the faith? Why should that be influenced by the faith? The answer is caution. Okay. So they didn't have anything to do with the clothes, it wasn't there. In other words, it was exactly the way it really is when you come down to it. So there's the neshama, and the neshama is inside the guf, but it has no shaykhus to the guf. So why should the person be ashamed of something which has no shaykhus to? In other words, the guf relates to the neshama very much like a jacket that you're wearing relates to you. So, you know, ashamed of the jacket, you don't feel the need to cover the jacket, and nobody should see the jacket, because there's no shaykhus to it. So, Adam HaRishon called him Achet. That was the same thing, that is.
It wasn't any pusher.
But then he came along and he said, oh, well, what is Tov and what is Nechmat? The apple. Now, as my guf begins to play a role, he was the Ribbono Shel Olam who said, don't eat from the Eitz HaDaas. Right? And he said, well, and the Isha Seh, Ki Tov HaEitz HaMacha, the Nechmat with Einayim. Whatever the lashon of the pasuk is, so he says that the mare and the enayim and the taste buds began to play a role. That means that he identified himself with his guf. Oh, so he identified himself with the guf. The guf stops being just a malbush, and it becomes a part of the root, something that you're ashamed of. So, in the same sense, that's the kind of misa. The more a person can be Isaac in his goofness, trying to make himself into a man, so then the Misa is a relatively easy story because it's just a matter of removing a neshama from a goof where there wasn't much of a chibur in the first place. These are somebody who's very much involved in his goof and the things that run his life and the things around which his life centers and which are important to him are his goofness, bigger things. So then that means that the neshama has become very much entangled in the guf. So very much like you take a bunch of wood and you wrap it around in a thorn bush and you try taking it apart, it doesn't go easily. So that's the same idea, that's the divesha. So that's the zach over here, that if a person doesn't live an odontic kind of life, he lives a behemoth kind of life, then from my day to my death. Now it's just like when a behemoth dies, right? So the death of the guf is the death, that's the death. See, I should have talked it out earlier. This is by the Benisim Vechalva, the Pshalif HaGuz Vechalva, the death is really not a death. I mean, you take off your jacket, it's not dying. Right? So, what's the mahus of the person? The mahus of the person is his neshama. So, therefore, the death isn't such a death at all. In other words, what to find my, that's not what Chazal said, no? And Chazal said, Tzadikim, Nisosam, Kuyim, Chayim. Well, I did that. Yeah? The answer is no, because the dying process wasn't much of a dying process. Why not? Because what defined his personality when he was alive? You don't define a person by his jacket. So what defined his personality when he was alive is neshama. What if neshama is fine? Yeah? Nothing much has happened to the neshama. So the goof died, but that doesn't say that he died. Because who was he? He was his neshama. He was his ruchnius. So it wouldn't be accurate to say, when you describe this person, so would it really be accurate to say he died? No, because he didn't die. Who's he? He is neshama. Neshama isn't dead.
Chayim Kuyim Mason.
Relative to what it's supposed to be, it doesn't have that existence, right? The existence which the Baruch Hashem created him for, it doesn't exist. So if the mois of the Adam is like the mois of the behemoth, that's very sad. In other words, what's the mois of the behemoth? The mois of the behemoth is that when the animal dies, that's death, because the whole definition, the whole material of the animal, even while it was alive, was as an animal, was the goof, that's what it was. And therefore, when the goof ceases to function, that is death with a capital D, that is death. So, the person who is like a behemoth when he dies, when he lives, in other words, he becomes entirely associated with the goof. So then, when he dies, it's almost like the meat of the behemoth. He is dead. So now the Gemara comes in and says, what if you want to salvage something? You want to take his neshama and try and do something with it? So now that's a whole procedure. You have to go and you have to disentangle it, and you have to slip, and you have to tear, and you have to this, and you have to that, and half of it remains behind, and half of it gets torn. That's the way it is. That's k'moizeh, k'moizeh. K'moizeh ha'odam min ha'behek. The ha'odam, the Mr. Kai, the one who could be everything, and is therefore in absolute contrast to the behemoth. Right? In other words, there's absolutely no tzad hashava between him and the behemoth. In other words, the yisrael, which this Adam should have over the behemoth, is infinite. He should be much, 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 much more than the behemoth. Is that moisha is oyen. That moisha is non-existent. In other words, instead of being infinitely greater than a behemoth,
is then a bohma. Because you are a ha'odam,
so that should be an infinite difference. The emes is a non-existent difference. And most ha'odam in Abahema, oyin, there's nothing there at all. Why? We are called Obed. Because, actually, if you want to dash in a little bit more, yeah, you can say ki ha'koil, that koil, right? Okay? Yeah, which lies in the ha'odam, has gone up in Hevel, remember? Remember how we touched Hevel right away at the beginning of the Megillah. Hevel is that situation which doesn't allow for any growth. Remember by Shem, from Sitzes, Hevel, Yochas, it's the situation where there's no growth. There's a Hevel situation. So, Moisah, remember? My Yisra in the Odom B'chol HaMorah, we're talking about Yisra, we talked about this first again, right? The Moshe, Odom Rehim, Oyen Ki Akol, Oven. And then comes a very, very serious question. What happens to the Neshama? What happens to life after death? Yeah, look, Akol Hoylech El Mokram Echot, Akol Hoyom Min Ha'okov, Akol Shavela Ofer. Suddenly, the whole existence
becomes a physical existence. It was created from dust and it returns to dust.
So mi yodea, ruach b'nei ha'odam, ha'ole hi l'mala v'ruach ha'behema yoredes hi l'mata l'odas. Like we figure, okay, life's tough. But there comes a time of release, there comes a time of relief. There
comes a time when the person dies, they die, or we want to die. But the tzad, I mean, that's because we're very much attached to it. life, people, and so on, right?
But we know in ourselves, well, there's a good part about dying too. And Shama goes to the Rosh Hashanah, goes to the Shemaim, and that's fine. So Kahela says, just wait a moment, is that so? You're mi yodea, ruach b'nei ha'odam, ha'oyle hi lemaila. Is it so? Does the ruach of this ha'odam, this Mr. Kol who acted like a behemoth, does his ruach go up? Mi yodea, ruach b'nei ha'odam, ha'oyle hi lemaila, ruach ha'behemoth yavere hi lemaila lo'odam. Because what happens to the neshama after it dies is also very, very much influenced by the way a person acts in this world. Just this week, a couple of people happened to ask me, interesting, Shadi, we're talking about like how do we perceive about people who have died, like how do we relate to them, how do we imagine them in our mind. Oh, it's not such a disaster where you can say anything very clear. But in that connection, I mentioned something that Rabbi Dessler said, what he used to say, maybe in the Sefer, maybe I heard it. He asked us a stira, a chayvah. More brachas about somebody who was in a Beis HaKrovos, and he heard two neshamas talking about when the rain was going to be, whether the Yashmir. The neshamas were talking, discussing when's a good time to plant.
So the mashmaus is that the neshamas and shemayim know what's going on in the world, right? They're interested that it's going to rain, when is it going to rain, when is it a good time to do the harvesting. You need to know that, you go ask the neshama. So the steht verkehrt, the Rosh Purim is coming up now. So steht doch in the Midrashim that when the Tzorah came on Kalisor, Kalisor was in Tzor, so Eliyahu HaNavi went, and he woke up the Ovos, he went to the Ovos, and he told them, listen, your children are in great Tzor, you have to go be mispalel for them. Vaisdai said the Ovos didn't know. So do the Neshamas know what's going on down here, or don't they know what's going on down here? Now, I don't know any klolim at all, but I do remember. But that's what we were told, I think, Vishem of Desla at the time. It depends. It depends very much what kind of a life a person lived down here. Things don't change when you die. You know, with the neshama, that's you. That's me. So, how is it? Who is it? Well, it depends what I made of it. So, a person was very, very much involved in this world. So, when he dies, he continues being involved in this world. That's the way he is. That's what he made of his neshama. So, when he's up in Shemayim, he gets a sort of celestial New York Times delivered, and he finds out what's going on down here. Is it going to rain? When is it going to rain? How is it going to rain? In other words, he's involved in Yonei Ha'olam Hazeh even when he's in Shemayim. Somebody was very, very much separated from Yonei Ha'olam Hazeh when he was here. So, then he's back in the Olam Ha'emes of Shaychus. But all of us didn't know what was going on. They were busy with other things. So I don't know whether that's a klal or whether it's always endless. But the Shah Zacha is like, how much ruach b'nei odam ha'oyle hi lemala, how much elevation their taka is for the ruach b'nei odam, not so precious. There's a Ramban in Achrem, right? V'shmatem et chukasai, ves mishpatai asher yaseh osam ha'odam v'chai bohem, ani Hashem. That is Ramban, everyone. Says, Ramban is troubled by the question of what does v'chai bohem mean? If you do mitzvah, v'chai bohem, then you live as a result of those mitzvahs. Now what's life? Not very clear. Ramban says that the Torah is purposely ambiguous
because there can be all different kinds of madregas of chayim. Goes like this. There's the da. Yichaye ha'odam b'mitzvot k'fi hachanos elohem. That the degree of chayim which a person has as a result of doing mitzvot depends very much how he approaches those mitzvot. What if he did mitzvah shalai lishman? And he did it only in order to get a reward. It's not the same shemayim. Yichya bohen ba'olam hazeh yomim rabim ba'osho uvinachosim v'kovod. He gets his reward, but he'll get his reward in olam hazeh. He'll get arif of yomim, he'll get osho, and he'll get kovod. And brings a Gemara for that. That's the first kind of time. It means the physical life in this world. People who do mitzvahs because they want to go to Olam Haba, and he defines that as somebody who says Hashem Yira. Welcome to Kabbalah. Lehinotzer minimishpatei harishon nafshon b'tov tolem. And if not, they won't get punished in Olam Haba. But apparently, what he means is it's not a very exalted kind of Olam Haba. It's more of a negative, no punishment. But for oikin b'mitzvot me'avo k'din u'k'roy in iskei Olam Haba k'indian amitzvot b'tov v'pashat and b'tikolkei v'lecho v'hitzik lachem dayis etzvotze. Yisku ba'olam hazeh l'chayim tovim k'minhogo shel olam u'b'chayi olam habo z'chus shleimo shem. The third madrega. Ro'ozven kol yomi olam hazeh. People who forsake olam hazeh completely. Ve'enom mashkichim olam ki'ilu enom ba'le guf. Who have nothing to do with olam hazeh. As though they weren't ba'le guf at all. V'chol kavonotu machshavotun b'zayron b'vat. Kasheho yo'inim v'eliyohu. Then the Hidovic Napsham the same Anichmod Yichyu La'ad the Gufam of Napsham to Nirv Reva Yer to Yaduam the Men of the Kabbalah Moshe Medrosh of the Chamech of Meir Olam Abo who aimed in the Tzir Chamech. So the highest Madrega are the people whose goods don't stand in their way at all and they go with their goods into Olam Abo like Yaduam did, like Chamech did, and the Tzir, like Tzir Chamech. That's the idea. In other words, the idea is but here's a mission, those gufim will become alive which have as little as possible shaykhus to physical things. So these are not madregas which we should sort of measure ourselves. I don't think we should feel ourselves in the pasha of serving Hashem in such a wonderful way, like you are nervous, like these people. And that's not the reason why I read this Ramban. But the reason why it is Ramban is because there's a Ha'orah over here in this Ramban, which I heard last year when I was not at work. The Pesach last year, the Rabbi Yisrael was saying in this Ramban. So he said a terrific Ha'orah. He said that in the four levels of the Ramban, what were they? The one who does it on the Nasa Kabbalah Cross, the one who does it Mi'ira, so he should go to Olam Haba, the one who does it Me'ahava, and the one who does it in a completely spiritual sense without any involvement in Olam Hazeh at all. So if I just said what it doesn't say over here, it's a guy who does mitzvahs simply out of habit. Right? So even the lowest madrega is somebody who works very, very hard at his mitzvahs, right? He tries very hard, he strives very hard, puts a lot of effort and discipline into it, except that he does it because he wants to be mekabel. Right? But what about the guy who just doesn't, I don't know, like that's the way he was brought up, and that's what he keeps doing, and that's what the surroundings seem to require of him, and it isn't terribly hard to do it, and he does it. So vice versa, by him there's no crime at all. I mean, that doesn't generate crime, that kind of doing, because like we said from the Gaon, the law of crime, Kofofos, Musa. But if you want to live something, you've got to strive, you've got to do something, you've got to grow. Now, you can grow for a not terribly admirable motivation. That's the fourth one, the first one. He doesn't do it on the Gnostic Kabbalah, but he's doing something. He's growing, striving, making something of himself, developing, but he's doing it with less than a perfect kavanah. That's doing. Person who does mitzvahs anosha milumada, person who does things simply drifting along because it comes easy for him to do it, and that's the way he does it, so he doesn't have any chayim at all. See, so that's what the pasuk is saying over here. Mi yodea ruach b'nei odam ho'olei lemala, ruach ha'behema yoredesi lemata ro'aretz. That is, if somebody is taka a behema, right? Levaram ho'elakim behema heima lehem. Now, if a person, taka, sits around in this world and doesn't do anything with himself, he just allows himself to do it, and he doesn't make sure that he grows and develops, he's in bad trouble. He's not only in bad trouble in this world, he's in bad trouble in the next world. See, the beauty of this is, the person doesn't say, the only way to go to Adam HaBa is to be a Chafetz Chaim, or to be a Gaon, or to be something like that. He said, but what it does say is that you've got to change, no matter how much. The slightest little change which there is, any growth, that's life, that's time. And we can leave that to the Rabbi Shem already. Which time? How fine? This Olam HaBa, that Olam HaBa, that's not our Geshef. Right? So there is no objective standard which we have to attain. There were, we'd all be in bad shape, like you've got to be it's hard. Can't be. But it doesn't say that. But what it does say is you've got to change a little bit. In other words, don't be a behemoth, don't be a bahma, don't be somebody whose entire existence is already there at any given point. Always try to change a little bit. A little bit. Learn a little less asmur the day before, try and learn a little more asmur the next day. Learn a little less kavanah the day before, try and learn a little more kavanah next day. Learn a little less chesed, a little more chesed. A little more lashon hara, a little less lashon hara. So try and grow. Make a change. That's what life is. That's what chayim is. Once you're living, life tends to generate its own inertia too. Right? It's Newton's law, no? Once you have movement, so the movement continues, and that's the topic. So that's the story over here. Okay.